Write this down. God's system for activating your streams of income. I want to teach you the kingdom system. There is a Babylonian system of establishing multiple streams of income that ends you in frustration, ends you in penury, or you will be rich but at the expense of your salvation. You will be rich but at the expense of very important things in your life. Everything that we do, we must do it from the perspective of the kingdom. And this is where men of God must balance. I believe in reaching out to business and getting a lot of business people and their ideas. But please hear me. You must be careful. Not everything taught in the business world should just be lifted and brought to church hook, line and sinker. Many men of God go for a lot of secular business meetings and they teach them a lot of things and they are motivated. I've listened to all those people too, trust me. But you must sustain a kingdom paradigm to be able to edit out the things that are not consistent with the way of the Lord. Because anything that is not founded on the truth of God's word, I don't care what it is, it will not last. Or even if it produces results for you, it will take something else out of your life. It is the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and will not add sorrow to it. Say amen. So what is God's system for activating the streams of income? Let's hurry up. Proverbs chapter 22 verse 12. The book of Proverbs, very quickly. Verse 16, quickly. It's a popular scripture we always talk about, but from here we'll rush so that we'll finish on time. What I'm about to bring before you is a powerful revelation that will change your life. Proverbs 18 verse 16. Let's read on. It says, a man's gift. Please listen. Please pay attention. A man's gift does what? Does two things. What's number one? It makes room for him. Is that true? What's number two? It brings him before. A man's gift does two things for him. It gives him opportunity and it gives him access. Write it down. Your gift does two things for you that is very vital in producing finances in your life. It gives you opportunities and then it gives you access, entrance before the great. A man's gift. So how do you identify the streams of income in your life? Many people have been taught, they teach you different businesses and they tell you just do this. No. There's no guarantee that because they gave you a good business idea, you will succeed. You see the mistake. This is where we mess up and we mislead people a lot. Write this down. You identify the streams in your life by looking at two things. Number one, your gifts and abilities. Your gifts and abilities are pointers to the kinds of streams that God has granted you access to. Your gifts and your abilities. Write it down. Number two, the problems and the opportunities that are in line with your passion. The problems and the opportunities that are in line with your passion. These are the two scriptural ways of identifying the streams that God puts in your life. One, your gifts and your abilities. Two, the problems and the opportunities that are in line with your passion. Not just any problem. You know, they tell people, search for problems. There are problems all around Nigeria. You go and try a problem that you don't have passion for. And that's when you know that problems are not things you just solve overnight. It must be in line with your passion. Passion is the key that sustains you in a place. It is passion that puts you back up when you fail. Anytime you commit yourself to anything you are not passionate about, you waste your time, you waste energy, you waste resources. Is God helping us? Write this down. Every gift and ability you have is a potential stream of income. How true? Every gift and ability in your life is a potential stream of income. Every gift and every ability you have is a potential stream. Look at David, for instance. Almost every gift the Bible identifies in David later became a stream for him. His ability to play, right? His ability to be faithful in service, his leadership skill, everything was utilized in his life. I'm about to make a statement that is very striking, maybe controversial, especially for pastors. I want you to listen to me. Do not let men box you into one stream and stop you from exploring other streams. Don't get into that illusion of making people box you because they identify and they know you as functioning in one stream. If you are not careful, people can put you in a box. They know you as a pastor and you remain a pastor and die a pastor. There are other streams crying for expression. But the religious environment keeps people down and keeps people poor. There's a lot that I want to say here. How many times have many pastors with great entrepreneurial potentials, with great leadership potentials, there are other streams of income that can find expression, but they are boxed to the pulpit and left there? Why? Because people say you are a pastor. And the meaning of that is remain there, be poor there, and die there. This kind of mentality does not longer exist in the 21st century. You cannot live in the 21st century with this mindset again. Or I am a civil servant. So when you call people, you say those who are civil servants this side, and you see a mass of people like bees coming to this side, those who are businessmen this side. That thing is about to change in the 21st century. That concept of choosing whether you are a civil servant or choosing whether you are an entrepreneur. Are you getting my point? There must be a weaving of it to survive the vicious financial circle in the 21st century. Are you getting blessed? Is God helping you? There are many pastors. I say this with a particular bias for pastors, because we have said pastors are wicked people, because pastors have been caught in all kinds of financial scandals in church, eating God's money. Pastors have been found manipulating people and doing all sorts of things. And the reason is because they have to respond to the necessary frustration that comes by having a single stream of income. Now the man is a pastor and is earning 20,000 with 5 children, right? You can imagine what that is. That you give a pastor a house and 1 car does not mean he will not need money again. And they themselves have not been educated. They have not been taught. They lack financial literacy. Are you getting the point now? So the pastor has to necessarily keep preaching messages that will manipulate people into, because the pastor's children must go to school. Is that not true? The pastor must also eat. Some of you, after the service, you go to the pastor's house. 10 people immediately after service, and all of them deserve to be fed. This has brought a lot of problems for people, especially those in ministry. Listen to me. Every potential you have that God put in you is crying for expression, and you should never go back to the Lord without giving it expression. Every gift in you. I plan in my life that every gifting and every potential His Majesty has deposited in my life will be adequately deployed. Praise the Lord. There are so many things. That's why many pastors are poor. That's why they are broke. One of my greatest mentors, Dr. Miles Monroe, a man who was able to cut across both the secular and the contemporary society, utilized his potentials. As a pastor, he was the senior pastor and the founder of Bahamas Faith Ministry International. And yet, at the same time, brothers and sisters, he was a consultant for 16 presidents. How many? A consultant, an advisor to 16 presidents. At the same time, he was so notable, the Bahamian nation had to make him an ambassador. Imagine that. And then at the same time, he owned an aircraft company, not aircraft. They are busy shouting that people are buying jets. Many of you may not know. Let me explain it to you. What it means, he not own one aircraft, Boeing 737. No. He owned a fleet of aircraft, the very company that deals in it. And yet he was a kingdom man. He lived well on earth and is gloriously honored in heaven. That's why he was a man of integrity. He was not just a man of integrity because there was absolutely no need. Why will you steal church money? For what? How much is the money? Are you getting the point? I tell you the truth. Not exposing people to the different giftings in their lives to deploy it and then leaving them, say, it's like you are hungry, you fasted for 3 days and then they make hot food, nice food, rice up and steaming, right? And then one drink is in front of you and they say, just keep your nose and be staring at it, but don't touch it. That's the same frustration that happens to a pastor, that you live with millions in a church account and he's sitting down and his son, he cannot pay 30,000. They must be thieves necessarily. With time, even if their conviction, you see that? Don't trivialize what I'm sharing with you. That's the reason why many pastors cannot be bold in teaching the truth, because they have inconvenienced too many people. And God is helping us tonight. Say after me, in the name of Jesus, I am gifted. Shout it, in the name of Jesus, there is a gift upon my life. There are graces upon my life. There are abilities upon my life. And I will deploy every one of them to become a stream of income. Even if God tells me to drop ministry today, I will never be poor for the rest of my life, because there are other streams. Are you getting me? Before God called me, I was doing something. Is that not true? You see, many of us act as if, oh, God found people lazy. Go and read your Bible. Everybody God called into ministry, he called them from a standpoint of diligently doing something. Moses was tending his father-in-law's sheep. Is that true? Every single one. Peter, they were all fishermen. God does not call lazy people. Please don't make it look like being in ministry is a license unto laziness. There are too many things I can do with my life to bring me stream of income. If I'm not a preacher, at least I can speak. Right? There are so many things. There are books to write. I have different thoughts on different areas. I can document my persuasions. There are all kinds of financial and business vehicles to set up. So don't you see a man of God rich and just think it's church money, or just think and think, are people not dashing their money? You see articles blackmailing men of God all around and saying a man who was poor, but now he has, as though he's not supposed to be blessed. People are arguing and complaining about one jet, two jets. My goodness, I don't know what will happen by the time we come. If we need 100 jets, we will buy all of them. I guarantee you. Very unapologetically. See that? You can be rich through the dignity of kingdom integrity. It doesn't have to be by crooks. It doesn't have to be by pranks. And you don't have to be angry at wealthy people. They look like you. You're of equal age, but your mindsets are not the same. Your sacrifices are not the same. Your courage is not at the same level. Hallelujah. Never allow anybody keep you in one position and not allow you to deploy your talents. There are many of us who are seated here. Bishop T.D. Jakes, the pastor of Potter's House, right? He wrote one book, Woman Thou Art Loose. Just one book. And that book brought him $4 million. Multiply that by 210 naira thereabout. That gives you the equivalent in naira, because he deployed his writing potentials. It became an added stream of income. When people were insulting him for living in a house of 2.1 million, I said, come on, give the man a break. He didn't steal anybody's money. Why will I be worth 10 million, 20 million, 100 million and not live in a house? How much is 1.2? How much is 2 or 3 million compared to 100 million? Don't insult people. If a man buys a car of 20 million, don't insult him and say he's extravagant. Compared to what? You are gauging his success based on your level. Compared to what? You see that? These are some of the poisonous mindsets that have destroyed us. We never forget. We forget the fact that these guys are sick. Their tape ministry, the books that they have written, enough will feed them for a lifetime. Just the books. Bishop Oyedepo, for instance, I hear that he does not even collect 1 naira from his books. And there are at least 60 books he has written. How many of them are bestsellers? Yet we are the first to criticize people and run down men of God and run down people, because how much is the peanuts you get from congregations compared to the wisdom? See, the Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask, not let him criticize those who are walking in it. Hallelujah. Ministry for me alone, with all the blessings of ministry, is only one stream of income. There are so many of them in my life that have been developed, and others are still being developed. I will never be poor. It's not about being a preacher. It's about realizing that once there is a demand for what I do, and I train myself in the ability to see, to do it. When you are sleeping, the wealthy people are awake, studying seminars, doing a lot of things, right? And then we see them rich and we criticize them. Please, I want to say this, Koinonia, from today, never develop the attitude of criticizing wealthy people again. You will never be like what you resent. Anything you drive away from your life, you can never be like it. Honor is the seed for access. Hallelujah. I'm friends to many, by the grace of God, many wealthy people and many millionaires. I'm not so daft to be around people who are blessed and not ask questions. See that? This is very important. But then let me quickly balance something, because there are so many people who will be hearing. Now, I explained to us that there are all kinds of streams of income. Watch this. The trouble I have, especially with men of God in business and other things, is that they do not know how to draw the line between the different fragments and facets of their lives. Are you seeing that now? When Jesus entered the temple, what did he do? He took a whip and he was flogging those who were doing business in the church. In the church. Jesus showed us that there is a difference. As a man of God, I have my corporate life, I have other dimensions, leadership and all of that. You see that? I cannot come into church and be doing business in the church. No, no, 1,000 times no. The moment I do that, I'm taking advantage of the loyalty. Are you getting that? Of the people, and using it for my... That's why you never come and hear me talk business in church. No, sir. The Bible says, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Right? I cannot bring up a product right now and force everybody in Koinonia to buy it. It is my product, but a lot of men of God are doing it. This is where the balance must come in. You cannot use the vast people that God has given you to train and build and then squeeze into them. No, there is a difference between different aspects of your life. That's the reason why God fragmented himself into different aspects. You cannot know Rapha by studying Jaira. Jaira is a dimension itself. Rapha is a dimension itself. Sikenu is a dimension itself. Is that true? El Shaddai is a dimension itself. But all of those names belong to one person. I am. So he said, who do men say that I am? And they were calling different dimensions of him. As a man of God, you are dimensional. While it is true that you do not stay on one place, you must know where the boundary lies. Never carry business into church and go and manipulate people. No, it's wrong. Very wrong. If you are here as a man of God and you are doing it, stop. Stop. You must give people an opportunity to make their decisions. They are not daft. Of course, I understand sometimes because of our kindness and generosity. Do you know why I'm telling you this? Because there are some things I may not be able to share here. But see, the business world is a lot different from ministry. In the business world, you must give people room to take responsibility for themselves. As a man of God, you can ruin your church in one moment. Right? I know there was a situation that happened in one church down in Abuja. It's one of the popular churches around, where there were some people who brought some land to sell, and then they brought it to church and they designed one scheme and members were happy and all of that, and then somehow the people were dishonest and they swindled the people with the church. The man almost lost his ministry because people started saying our pastor is a thief. He connived with people to eat our money. Do not think because members sit down and love you. They love you as a man of God, but you must give them room to build their financial capacities. Don't over pamper people in the name of kindness. They will stab you when they fail, because the business world is a world that requires its own maturity. Are you getting me? Many people do not have business sense, and you expose them in the name of church to businesses or some things. When things go wrong or it fails, they will kill you. They will write articles about you. They will lock you up as a man of God. And so let people take their responsibilities by themselves. Are you getting what I'm saying? Is God giving us wisdom? This is a mistake a lot of pastors have made. They come to church. Anybody just comes in and says, I'm a lawyer. I have some land. I am a this. I have that. And then the pastor comes and announces. And because people love the pastor, they now run around and come and say, this is our pastor, this and that and that. Or they raise money to buy church land. You know, all kinds of things. Please, I'm telling us, especially for men of God who are here, who are upcoming, maintain integrity. Maintain integrity. As a man of God, define the jurisdiction of your work to the ministry and stay there. Now, there are other platforms you can create, like Sunday Adelaja, who created a lot of business platforms. If you want to do anything that is business in the church, set up a committee or a club and let people subscribe to it. Spell the terms of it and let the people know that they are venturing into this, not in the name of the church, but at their own risk. That way, whatever happens, the integrity of the church is preserved. Is God teaching us? I told you I struggle to teach you what I'm teaching you, because this is what you would teach in a business class that you pay hundreds of thousands. But this is giving us wisdom, especially for those of us who are leaders. Don't carry the zeal of business ideas or whatever and come and project on people. That they are praying in tongues and they hug you, you don't yet know their attitude towards money. They will stab you and kill you. Is God helping us? Let's continue. So your streams of income should be around your giftings, should be around your abilities, your streams of income. Now look up. I want to teach you something, please. Very important now. Write this word down. Time. T-I-M-E. Write this word down. Time. Your life on earth is measured in time. Don't forget this. Your life on earth is measured in time. That means whatever you give your time to, you have given part of your life to. The time you are giving your employer or your job, your office, is part of your life you are giving to them. Write this down. Focus on activating streams that increase your income without eating up your time. Focus. There is only limited time you have. Everybody has only 24 hours. You cannot have 25 hours in a day. So if you generate streams of income around your life and all of them require your time and your active participation, you will wear your life out and you will be ineffective. Wealthy people focus on activating streams that increase their income without necessarily eating up their time. Let me give you an instance. If I write a book right now, if I write one book, right, I communicate my thoughts, maybe books on, there's so many books that I have, I'm just waiting for the Lord to release me to begin to write books. I know many of them will be bestsellers because I will not just get up and write books. I will humble myself and meet those who have produced bestsellers and ask them, I have the content, but what of the marketing? What of the publicity? Never do a thing until you have consulted with the best of the best. You will minimize mistakes. You will make instant progress. So I can write a book right now, for instance, and then release it. And I can be here preaching and somebody is buying my book in a bookstore. Doesn't know me, has never seen me, may never see me, right? And then income is coming into me. Millions and millions of income coming because I'm documenting my persuasions. And there are many areas I can write on. I can write on the anointing. I can write on wealth and prosperity. I can write on leadership. All the areas that I know God has granted me grace in. I'm just showing you how one stream. Now I can be here and be effective in Koinonia. Another thing, for instance, if I build an estate, you see that? If I build an estate, there are people renting. I don't even know them. I've never seen them, for instance, but I'm here teaching the word. My time is being invested to the principal thing I've been called to do, but there are channels that are bringing me income. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Very important. If I teach, assuming that we're selling our teachings, imagine the hundreds of millions we would have made by now on just the media ministry. But God instructed us not to do that. The impact is more important than the money. One grateful person can bring what would have gotten in 10 years and bring in one day. This is the benefit. Every time you dispense value, you must be rewarded. Whether you sell it or you give it free, it's a law. So we are not at a loss at all. Now imagine that today's message, the media department will now package it, The Wealthy Place, volume 1, volume 2, volume 3, right? And then maybe each of them is sold now. You can imagine that. And all of that is happening. So people are buying it somewhere, whereas you are still here. As much as possible, value your time. Your time is premium. You must know that. You cannot give away your time unnecessarily for everything. It's too much to give your life just for money. No. Let wisdom minimize the dispensing of your time so that you will spend that time on the things that matter in life. I hate seeing people spending all their time chasing after money. You should chase after God. Chase after God. Seek ye first the kingdom and seek ye to align yourself to the principles of the kingdom. That's what is meant by his righteousness here. And he said all other things will be added. Let's hurry up. When you give your time, you give your life. Never forget that. The reason why they pay you salary is because you are exchanging two things for that salary. Number one, you are exchanging your gift or your potential or your skill. Number two, you are exchanging your time. These are the two things that go for your salary. You cannot afford to do this for the rest of your life, because your 24 hours, if you spend 1/3 or 2/3 of that 24 hours investing in somebody's project and his assignment, how much do you have left for yourself and for the advancement of the kingdom? Imagine that I cannot come for Koinonia now and say, because I'm trying to do something there, I'm looking for money somewhere. It's terrible. I'm failing in my assignment. It doesn't matter how much money I make. So you have to be careful so that you don't just... That's the language of those we call hustlers. Hustlers are those who are ready to commit their time to anything that will give them money. Right? Their time is valueless to them. So they can give it away just for anything. My time is precious to me because my life is measured in time. God gives me the gift of 24 hours every day. And I focus on doing the things that are...